You're listening to Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Kevin Kniestad, in for Gabriel Spitzer this week. And we're hearing stories of passing the point of no return. And what if your entire life was shaped by a medical diagnosis? That's what happened to Tracy Coisier. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer spoke with her about how her medical condition played a role in the decisions in her life.
So let's start at the beginning of your journey toward the point of no return, which I gather starts when you were pretty young, right?
I was 5, and we were living in Taiwan at the time, and I started having seizures. And then when we moved back to the States, I was about 9, and we went back to the States, and then we did see a doctor who informed my mother that because the seizures were uncontrollable, I would not be able to drive. Because I would not be able to drive to a job, I would not be employable, so I would have no income of my own, so that I would live with them and basically until they died. And that also, oh, by the way, she won't be able to have children.
So you just heard that you were going to never work, live with your parents until they were dead, and never have kids.
This is correct.
And what were you thinking? Do you remember?
You know, you're at that age where you realize that your mother's a little nutty. And so all I remember thinking was, I have to live with her for the rest of my life? And so I think that kind of overshadowed the you're barren thing a little bit.
How did that affect the way you thought about yourself, the idea that you would never be a mother?
I don't think that I bought into the romance idea very much, because the whole story is that boy meets girl, they live happily ever after, and they have a picket fence and 2.4 children. And so I think I felt, since I was not going to have that, then I wasn't necessarily going to have, like, why look for your prince?
So how did that affect, like, your dating life?
So at some point when I was in college, I was told that with my anticonvulsants, birth control pills don't always work. And it's not that you can't have kids. You're fine to have children. But if I were you, I would definitely double up.
You can have kids, but you shouldn't.
Anticonvulsants can cause a lot of birth defects, including the brainless baby problem. So I had sponges and condoms and birth control pills. So instead of doubling up, I did triple up.
So how did that kind of go? Did you find a mate?
So I did. I got set up on a date with this guy who on paper was fantastic. He went to Harvard. He clerked for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then in reality, he was a really weird guy. Like, he didn't use utensils to eat his food. He used his fingers. And so he'd eat and scoop his food up with his hands, and then he would talk and gesticulate, and then he would fling food on you.
Wow. And you were contemplating marrying into this, attaching yourself to this for life.
Yeah. This is my glass slipper, man. You know, he's a little weird, but he would love me in spite of my barrenness. And that was part of his proposal. And so in the middle of this summer with the food flinging politician, I started to not feel well. I was throwing up frequently. I had headaches. I was really dizzy. I had some blurred vision. And so we did every test known to God, except, of course, the one that you would imagine, which is that I was, despite 3 forms of birth control, I was actually pregnant.
So what did you think when you learned that you were pregnant?
By that point, I was really angry. Like, that just can't be possible.
You can choose to get into details or not, but how did that wind up?
So the pregnancy was not long-lived. What they don't tell you is it doesn't really matter how long it is in there or how it comes out. What they don't tell you is that postpartum is horrible. I went into a really, really, really deep depression. I mean, I don't even know at the time if I was like, oh, I'm depressed because I could have had a kid and then I don't have a kid and then we broke up. I don't even know if it was that, but it was just this horrible, I am stuck at the bottom of black inky well and there's no way that I am crawling my way out of it.
So this gets us into your early 30s by now, right?
Yes. Yes. And I'm on this weird quest because I really want my tubes tied. So I finally found a guy in Connecticut. He's like, yep, absolutely. And there were 3 choices. You could tie the tubes into a little bow and then they could be untied. You could put a clip, like a little springy hair clip on them. And then you could then take the clip off and probably still get pregnant. And then the third and final choice was you would cauterize them. So he would actually just burn them so they'd be severed entirely. And they're so small that it pretty much destroys the fallopian tubes entirety. And so I opted for that final choice.
The irreversible choice.
The completely irreversible choice. And within a week, of the surgery, my health really deteriorated really, really quickly. I had one swollen left foot. I had swollen hands. I had giant purple pimples everywhere, rashes. I was a mess. So I ended up going to this doctor. He was so funny. I said, you know, I've had this problem for years in my belly and then this and the hands and the swelling. And he wrote it down on a post-it note. And he goes, I know the answer. I'm so excited to know the answer. So he said, you have celiac disease. And I was like, what? And he's like, listen, just don't eat wheat, barley, oats, or rye anymore. And you're going to feel fantastic. 4 months after having my tubes cauterized, I then realized that my epilepsy, finger quotes around that word, was actually an allergic reaction to wheat.
And you could treat that wheat allergy.
Yeah, just don't eat wheat.
So how did that get you to your next chapter?
September 11th happened. And so then you kind of get to this point where you're like, oh my God, life is really short. That was a real turning point for me. And so I bought this meditation cassette and I closed my eyes. And on the inhale, I had a vision of the Space Needle in my head. And then on the exhale, I felt like I was riding down the elevator. I went to a church a couple of times to see if the praying would work for me, trying to talk to God. I'm having the Space Needle in my head. And so I came to this decision that I was just going to drive to Seattle. Had one person that I knew from high school and one person that I knew from a sorority connection. And the sorority connection person signed me up for a singles party. And the event was at the Space Needle. And I met this guy, James, who seemed kind of boring. I actually say to him on our first date, I have about 75 minutes. Let's just get this over with. Thankfully, he's a forgiving man. The coffee turned into dinner, and then there was this amazing kiss, and he said, I really want to see you again, and we married 1 year later, and then 5 years after that, I gave birth to twin girls.
You didn't have any problem getting pregnant or carrying your kids to term, even though your tubes were gone?
Well, I knew, and when the guy took my tubes out all those years ago, he said, listen to me, if you change your mind, do in vitro, go straight to Petri dish.
Ah, hot dog. So the point of no return, you returned from it.
I did.
So what do you make of this now, looking back on it, besides just having your head spin?
I love motherhood so much. Every day, even if they're screaming and crying, I was like, this is amazing. Because I never thought I was going to get this. And one day, one of my girls, Charlotte, somehow she took my favorite cookbook ever, and then it caught on fire a little bit because she put it too close to a candle. And I think it happened on Mother's Day weekend. And so I wrote a note to myself that said, just think how fantastic it is that you have a daughter that can set your cookbook on fire.
That was Tracy Coisier speaking with Gabriel Spitzer. We first learned about Tracy and her story at the storytelling event, A Guide to Visitors. You can find more information about A Guide to Visitors at our website, kplusoundeffect.org.